One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to this episode of Bats and Shanks, 7 series in, still going strong. Now we're trucking along. I wonder if Clarkson's farm will do 7 series. I doubt it. Probably don't have as much content as us.
Yeah.
Not as popular.
Yeah. I still haven't watched it. I'm saving it up. Like, because I know
it divides people. Like, you know, like Marmite, whilst we're butter. Everyone likes butter. Butter goes with everything.
Yeah. Is there still a market for margarine? There must be. I don't know anyone that eats margarine.
Well, the issue I've got, it's not so bad in the summer months because I leave my butter out in a butter dish. There's a little glass one with a cover on top. In the winter, nightmare to spread on sandwiches or on toast. Bit like Lurpak. Lurpak's the same. In the fridge, nightmare. Breaks the bread, especially like soft, fresh bread. So I've started using clover a little bit. It's buttermilk, but it spreads perfectly. God. But that's only in winter. In summer, it's 16, 17 plus degrees. So unsalted butter is fine.
Oh, God.
Why? What's your butter preference?
Butter, just proper butter, mate.
You make it yourself. A couple of cows out the back.
Just butter. Just get really good butter. I've got a solution for you on the hard butter thing. Special knife that I got it or served it on Instagram. You know, and you must never buy anything off Instagram. Only it works. It's a knife, so it looks like a normal knife.
What? Yeah, go on, sorry. No, you're right, you're right. Facebook and Instagram, nightmare.
Never do it, but I did it. And it's a knife, so it looks like a normal knife, metal, stainless steel, whatever. But there's the blade on one side, but the top side has basically got holes drilled along it. Like if you had really, really tiny little fingers and a 10 of them, it'd be like a knuckle duster, right? But it's just got holes along the top of it. So you it's like a grater. So you actually use that side to rub along the top of a hard pat of butter and it squirrels it off. So it gives you little squirrely, whirly worms of butter and it works on hard butter. They are then really easy to spread because they're little squirrely, whirly worms of butter, not big chunks of hard butter.
Does it come out like one of the spots on your back we used to get?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like pimple poppers, only there's 10 of them and it's butter and you eat it.
And it's the hard white stuff, not just the liquidy pus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the black cheats.
Like the blackers used to get because you can never wash your back properly because you can't get your arms around there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hang on. How properly do you wash your back?
Really well.
How do you wash your back?
Get my arms right round there.
No, you don't.
You know, like when you're a kid and pretending you're kissing someone.
Only you've got soap on your hands and you...
Mate, I go in the gym and have a shower and I come out the other week, and one of the guys in the gym said, "Where'd you go? A bird bath?" I was that quick. I'm not a fan of showering, mate. Like,
you don't use soap, do you?
No, of course I use soap. I mean, I'm clean. I never smell. But wow. I just can't have a long shower. Like, my kids will have 25, 30-minute showers. I'm like, what are you doing? You're wasting all the water. Whilst I'll have a quick shower. I have got a lot to wash, but I've not got hair to wash.
Yeah, makes difference, yeah.
I could chill out in a bath. That's fine. I'll put my iPad on, maybe watch something. But showers, I'm in and out really quick.
Yeah, baths are for babies. I want no interest. And I'm a short shower myself. But let me tell you something I do, which is quite virtuous in the shower. I got taught this by a teacher when I was at primary school. I'll never forget.
They come in with you?
Right. Yeah, they're good at there. Yeah. Get right underneath. Same as when I brush my teeth. I turn the shower on and get myself wet. Turn the shower off, lather up with shower gel. And then when I'm all lathered up, turn the shower back on to rinse it off. I turn it off in between. I turn the tap off in between when I'm brushing my teeth. I don't leave it running.
Yeah, everyone does that though. But I've not heard of turning the shower off when you...
I've always done it, yeah. And I don't...
Probably it's why you can afford such lavish holidays.
Because you save water. Bloody lavish holidays, Christ.
It's because you save money in your showering.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I wish I could afford lavish holidays.
Is there not some science behind that? Like when you turn a car off, that it uses more fuel than to turn back on. So you might as well just keep it running. And also,
that's bollocks, how
long do you spend lathering up your body?
40 minutes. No, quick. But I'm saving a minute of water. But it's habit. I always turn it off in between.
Yeah, you're a man of habit. I get that.
But also, do you know what I like? I like being covered in suds and then having one big clean off.
You should go in a car wash, mate. That's what you should
do. Yeah, a bit like that.
What shower gel is your weapon of choice?
Well, since Clifton Zoo shut down, I've had to shower at home. To be honest,
shoulders?
I'm not into toiletries, as you might imagine, but I did get bought for Christmas 2 years ago, and then I liked it so much I got another one. I get one a year. There's a toiletries brand called Rituals, which I don't know about these things. Rituals shower gel foam is like, oh yeah, that's the one, mate. If I catch anyone else using it, it is kicking the back time.
I used to like the eucalyptus and mint one. I used to get a nice little tingle.
Oh, that's the yeah.
But my favorite is probably Imperial Leather, you know, the little foam burst one.
That's still going?
Yeah.
I thought it was only your nana that used Imperial Leather.
No, it's one that comes up like shaving foam, but you don't need much.
That's it. That's the same as Ritual stuff.
It's in like a pressurized can, and you can get...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm.
So I do a bit of that, Tom. I don't shout at the gym, though. I will never go from the gym to a meeting or gym to work. I will never do that because I could have a 20-minute shower with freezing water to the point where my gentleman's area disappears. And I'll get out, I'll put trousers and a shirt on, and I will sweat my tits off through the whole meeting. So I just,
yeah, but the shower you use in your gym is like a maximum security prison shower. So I'm more of I'm in a health club-ish. It just qualifies, I think, as a health club gym. Just
a leisure facility.
Do you not even shower after using the kayak machine in your gym?
Ollie sent you a video, didn't he? I don't know why he was laughing at me so much. He's got this stupid kayak machine, which is stupid. Have a go at that. So I have a go at it. He's, oh, you're shit at that. I'm going to send a video to Shanks. Like, yeah, I've never used a kayaking machine before. You never even kayaked. Yes, I have, actually. That's not how you do it. Have you ever kayaked? He has never kayaked. I have kayaked. I don't like it, but I've done it.
You need a longboat. Kayak, no good for you, mate. You need a punt.
Well, I'd have a kayak as long as it's got the little stabilizers off the sides.
Yeah, like an Amazonian fishing vessel.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I've got the balance of a frigging knitting needle.
Like Maui from Moana. You have one of them.
Yeah. I'm not going to have lost all the weight, mate. I'm not going to have lost all the weight. I haven't
it'll find you. Away. It's going to find you, mate. You've lost it, but it'll find you.
I just keep saying it. It's not true. But Ollie, like, you're shit on that. Then he, like, a woman comes in with her daughter for personal training. They love him at personal training hour, you know. He's the PT, and I'm sitting on a bike, whatever, next to them. He's like, have a go on that. And they have a go on it. They're like, what is it? It's a kayaking machine. Go on, use it. And they start, like, using it incorrectly. And he's like, you're shit at that. I'm like, yeah, that's not how you fucking do it. Like, yeah, tell them then. They've never kayaked. So, like, you know,
I wouldn't
you know
say
what
it'd be
like,
one of
mate.
The first machines I'd go on.
He's a bully.
You're really good. You were really good on the ski erg. I don't know whether that's a goes back to boarding school, but
you're go to boarding school.
You're pretty good at that. Private school.
Not go to boarding school. Yeah, but the ski erg is it depends.
So hurt your back. Always look at people.
No,
and
no
I
if
think
you, if you're going in distance, it really helps to be between 6'4" and 6'8" probably because it's just longer strokes, but. If you're going a shorter distance, it's a power exercise, isn't it? It's basically back and legs. So most props should be good on a ski erg. Like if I'm you know, I'm old and fat now, but if I went on a ski erg now,
that's weight.
I would still register decent scores over 30 seconds or 500 meters or something. But
well,
then
you
after
beat me
that,
at rowing for a minute, didn't you? Was it a minute or 30 seconds?
I can't remember. But I just die after that. But it's a up until like a lot of these things, it's power to a point, isn't it? And I have that. I just don't have any endurance because
Beowabusu power is what you got.
No, he's different.
Different.
He's different, mate. I don't.
You
have
know,
that.
You told me last a couple of weeks ago. You said you're going to watch something called Ripley.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't really pay too much attention to what was on the photo, and I thought it was going to be Sigourney Weaver. I thought it was going to be like. Some sort of prequel to Alien. And it wasn't. It was about... what's the film called? Is it The Fantastic Mr. Ripley? Or
I thought it was Talented
Jude
Mr.
Law.
Ripley.
Talented Mr. Ripley, yeah. So it is a spin-off of that, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. And
another version of, I think.
Bejesus, flats. I'm enjoying it.
Isn't it
it's
amazing?
It's really good. It's so good. I can't remember the lead actor in it, but he's in Sherlock Holmes, the British version, and he is...
he's a sexy priest from Fleabag.
Yes, correct. And he's just amazing in it. They're all brilliant.
He is absolutely amazing in it, and it's not my cup of tea at all, and I'm absolutely loving it. And great recommendation from Nicole. Absolutely love it. Really looking forward to watching an episode. Really, unfortunately, it's tomorrow night for me now. Won't get back here till tomorrow night to watch it, but really looking forward to it. And it's something different. And the fact, weirdly, this is going to sound really babyish, but if it wasn't recommended, I wouldn't watch it because it's in black and white.
Yep. Yep. You said the same about Schindler's List, and you've still got to watch that one day. Okay. Put your big boy
pants on. What amazes
me
is that one of the premier global brands in elevators is Schindler's. Schindler Lifts. True story. Just think
apparently the Liam Neeson film on there, Sinners and Something, is really good as well, by the way. It's on Netflix. It's on in the top 10. But
I never believe these top 10s. I think
I've seen reviews on there. I've seen reviews about it, and it does seem really good. Apparently it's like his best movie since Taken, which was...
That was great, and I'm not sure it's been a brilliant one since. But these like... all these algorithmic top 10s, like, I know that, like, one podcast or another would be like, hey, here's a tweet of us. We're top of the log. We're top of the charts. Thanks to all of our supporters. It's like, good on you. But I'm not actually sure that means you are the most popular or the best pod. I think it's this weird algorithm. If you're new, you shoot up the charts or whatever it is. And it's like...
otherwise, we'd be number one every week.
Yeah. No, it's not that. It's just, I kind of, the top 10s, I don't believe. It's all the... I don't trust algorithms, fella. I don't trust them. Oh,
well,
listening to
luckily, Alan Turing didn't agree with you, and he cracked the enigma. So
yeah. Let's spot. Yeah.
Before you go into that. Now, I also said about Clarkson's Farm only 4 episodes. Well, I bought another 4 out on Friday.
Ah,
or Saturday.
You wondered, didn't you?
Yep, David. I didn't think you'd be able to top the first series because I thought it was new. And it would be a little bit, I thought it might be a bit fake, second season, you know, because everyone knows what's come in. And that set up quite a few scenes, which I'm sure they do, and they'd have to do in a certain way, like Charlie coming along when there's just an issue going on. But, mate, I don't know what I'd rather watch. Kin, which was amazing, or Clarkson's Farm.
Mainly series two.
Which is right up there. Because I just can't believe, like, when it rains, and whether the weather's cold or it's hot, and you're getting all seasons at the moment, you know, it's raining at the moment here in Wales, and it was hot a couple of days ago. Like, it inconveniences us, and it's a bit of a nightmare when you've got to do rugby. You know, you don't know what to wear. You can wear a coat, you can wear a t-shirt. But you forget the effect it has on farming and the yields and the harvest. It's unbelievable. Like, what an industry to be in terms of ups and downs. Like, one year you're going to get an amazing harvest. Next year, could be all gone because the crop's frozen or it's not the right moisture. Or don't ever think about stuff like this, ever. And it just blows my mind. And I love it. And I love the way that Clarkson is just, you hear him speak. Like, he doesn't want to go to London anymore. He wants to stay there. He wants to stay on his farm. You know, he's properly bought into it. It's amazing. I've loved it. I just hope I could watch that. I hope it just continues, like, Strictly.
Didn't when he got into his latest bit of trouble about saying horrible things about Meghan Markle, didn't they say this is going to be the last series? And then they're binning it because they'd already started it, I think.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, he does throw a grenade in there now and again, doesn't he?
Yeah, that was silly. That was not nice. But yeah, I can't wait to watch it. And actually, at the weekend, we're down in Devon for a couple of days, and we're with some family, and they are farmers, dairy farmers, and it's like, it can be the most amazing life. Like, I think 2 years ago, like 2022 or whatever, was just like unbelievably good, successful. It's like everything went right. The weather was right. Wow, you know, onto a winner. And then it's like, bang, the weather changes, whatever the bloody yields are, change, subsidies change, rates change. And it's like, holy shit. And he's working, I mean, proper 15, 16 hour days every day, because cows don't know it's Sunday, right? So you go and go and go, and you think, no time for yourself, no time for family. And it's like, mate, just, you own the farm, pay someone else to do it. And it's like, with what? We don't know what's going to happen with our money. You can't just pay someone a lot of money to do it. It doesn't work like that. In the good years you can, but you can't risk it. So it's like, it's such a, Clarkson's Farm obviously makes it seem hard. He has the benefit of having, you know,
200 vast, million to do it.
Yeah, vast independent wealth, which he's rightly earned, and that's great. And he acknowledges all of that, of course, but it does give an insight into how hard it is. And it's like, I always think, you know, if I could go back to being 18, like, would I play rugby again, or would I go a different route? And I kind of think I would do it because I've loved it and I love a lot of what I do now, but there is something in me that wishes I went out on tractors every day and all that. But as my wife regularly reminds me, that is not what it's like being a farmer. It is brutally hard. And it's every day, every day, every day, if you're in certain sorts of farming.
It should hire you for the harvest. You could try it with Combine, couldn't you?
I'd love that, mate.
Like Gerald.
I was meant to do my HGV license a few years ago, but my mate had a haulage firm and sold it. He was going to do it for me. And then one day, I think he just got an offer and that was it. But
is that what we're going to do for your 50th now?
You know Keatsy.
Yeah.
Uncle Pete. Yeah, he bloody sold it. So I was going to do my HGV. Like, he had a lad take me out in one of their new lorries, and I went to like see him for coffee and stuff, and he's like, "Oh, we got a new lorry." I was like, "Can I go for a drive?" And he was like, "You can't drive it." I was like, "Yeah, I'll just sit in it." Where do you want to go? Because it's quite big. You can't just. So in the end, he just got one of his lads to just take me out for half an hour in this lorry. I was, mate, I was happy.
Two things, right? One, you could do a little. You could be like an Instagram influencer, and you could do food in an HGV lorry in a cab. Like, you could have
lorries and loaves.
Yeah. So you could make all your food in your little cabin. And the other thing would be, if you do your HGV license, does that mean we all have to do ours? So for your 50th, we're going to hire out HGVs and go around America, because you didn't do that for your 40th when you wanted us all to get a motorbike license so we could drive like wild hogs through America.
Yeah. Like saddos. They're like, do you know what? I mean, life took over, but also I thought, I don't really want anyone dying on a motorbike or having an accident on my birthday. Just it ruined my birthday, not for any other reason.
You still haven't had the stag do yet for you, which...
That's Powley, mate.
I've never forgiven you for.
That's Powley. There's still time. I want to go skiing.
What do you mean, like for a third wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I want to go skiing as a belated stag do. I don't want to ski that much. But I want to go skiing.
I'd be happy not to ski and just meet you.
Yeah. It's like whose stag do was it? Oh, it was Powley's himself. He had a domestic stag and a European stag. For his European stag, we went to Chamonix, and half of us didn't ski. We just had a lot in and met them for brekkie. It was really nice.
Well, Rhys Blumberg. Well, we can't call him Blum anymore because he's now the CEO of
CEO
the Dragons.
Now.
So we have to call him Rhys.
Mr. Blumberg, yeah.
Him and Paul Lugar, my only two mates that aren't married. But I'm just waiting. But Paul has been with his partner, Leanne, for such a long time now. I don't think they'll ever get married. Whilst Rhys is with his partner, not as long, but they're engaged. So
I think that of all the mates you've got who aren't married, and all the mates I've got who aren't married, if Ollie Barkley ever decides to tie the knot, we don't see each other a huge amount because he's up in London and he's busy doing his own thing and I'm down here. He absolutely knows how to live life. He knows how to do a stag, not over the top. I reckon that'd be one of the best experiences of my life if he ever decides to tie the knot and have a stag.
I don't think, yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't think you're quite good looking enough to go on his stag do.
I need security, mate.
Yeah, that's fine. You'll have to wear a security t-shirt, but like they're all going to be wearing like linen trousers and Birkenstocks and low-cut Vs.
I don't know if I should say it on a pod. If I found out he told me he'd got engaged, the first message I would be a nice message back, congratulations. The second message would be to a dodgy bloke I know in town who's stays suspiciously large and muscular and lean year round with a great tan. And I would say to him, can you get me loads of gear, please? I want to go on human growth hormone. Tren and Clen. I want to go on all the steroids and I'm going to give myself a 6-month blast. And I'm going to go out there looking like Terminator and just hope my heart doesn't give in when I jump off the top of a yacht. Be worth it though for the pics.
Yeah. You make some great stories there.
Problem is, like, from what I understand, you can do all the steroids, but if you don't train absolutely loads and you don't monitor your diet, it basically doesn't work. So you can't just live your normal life and take loads of drugs and look amazing. You've actually got to do loads of work. So that's where I would fall down.
I'm in holiday mode right now, mate. Well, when I say holiday mode, I'm doing the prep for holiday. I've got Villamora coming up at the start of June. So I want to get myself in pretty good shape for that because I'm going to come back like a drop lasagna. I'm going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just going to...
Splaying out.
Yeah, yeah.
Falling through the gaps in a pavement.
Yeah, look, I'll do well to eat anything green on that trip. It's just going to be...
You'll stub your toe and instead of bleeding gravy, you'll come out.
Yeah. Mateus wine. The only thing... it's just going to be a little bit of salad, maybe in a club sandwich.
Yeah,
that is it. I'm going to be full of red meat, prawns, chips, super bock. So is it Sotheby's cider?
Yep.
Yep. Baby Guinness. Vodka, lemonade. And...
You're such a Brit abroad.
That's probably about it.
You're going to get a bulldog tattooed or no, you'll get leeks tattooed on your shoulder before you go.
No, I'm going to bring a Welsh flag towel and hang outside my balcony.
Short sleeve Lacoste shirt. Abbott. 9 a.m. Pint of lager, please drive.
Tucked in.
Pint of lager, please drive.
Yeah.
The nick you were in, Shanks, dear listener, sent me a photo during lockdown that he made me promise not to post, and I didn't. But you're... Missus obviously took it, or one of your kids. You're in your back garden and you were absolutely stacked. Like, you're a big bloke, so you were big with like big six pack. You look punchy as frig. And I was like, proper punchy rig. Do you, A, regret not letting me post that and pretend you hadn't asked me to and be like, oh, Flats, what are you like? Take that down. Or, and do you think you'll ever be in that nick again?
No. I'm on a diet at the moment of like, I'm on a broken jaw diet. Well, when I say I'm on it, I'm not yet. I'm going to start it probably about 10 days before I go away. So just soup, basically.
And you won't stick to it? Because you'll I'll have try. A couple of socials before you go away. You know you will.
Well, I got Mike Tindall's golf day this Friday, which is
screwed.
Spanner in the works. Because,
you're screwed, mate.
Yeah, it's 4 pints of Guinness before you even teed off. And we're teeing off at 10 a.m. So,
yep. Nah, you're screwed. Start after that, then. I think the day after that, you'll have the hungover munchies. You'll be dehydrated with the munchies.
Oh, day after that, I can't. I'm in Belfast doing Ulster, Leinster.
Crap diet on the road,
crap
mate.
Crap diet, yeah.
Can't eat well when you're a commentator. You can't. It's impossible.
Sunday, then, I'm booked to go to El Puerto's, Penarth Marina, bit Sunday lunch.
There we go. You're screwed, mate.
You're
a fat shit.
Yeah, that's why I've said 10 days.
You're
10
a fat
days
shit.
Time. Yeah.
You're a mess, mate. Just... Oh, God.
I want to know the best fat loss. I probably should know, being a professional athlete for such a long time, but we just did what we were told. And it wasn't mostly to do with fat loss. It was more to do with power and output. And, you know, cardiovascular capacity. But is it walking? Is it cycling, like in a low intensity for an hour? So let us know. Leave a review first, because we need some more reviews. But also, can you let us know? Can you let us know? Because Flats also would like to know.
I'm not asked, mate.
Well, you are. You are.
Do you know what?
You are. Why'd you tell us you lost weight then, if you're not asked?
I'm not, because if I was really asked, I want the results without the work. If I was really asked, I'd do the work.
That's exactly what people like you say. So there we are.
I have lost weight. I've gone from 130, just under 130, to 121. That is actually quite a lot of weight.
It's good. Well done. Should be happy. Should be pleased.
I'm still 19 and a half stone, though. I'm like, do you know what? I stood next to Max Lahiff at, he's a top bloke, was at Bristol the day. And you see like Genji, and he's just like big and thick, like a big, big unit, big neck on him. I think he's my wife's new favourite. And then you see Max Lahiff, and there is not a physique like his in rugby, full stop. There's plenty of like shredded guys with big muscles, but they're all naturally sort of small guys. He is huge. So he's like 6'2", 19 stone, and he is just like unbelievable. And he has been since he was a kid. So I love to tell people he's cheating, mate. He's on the gear. But unfortunately, I know he is absolutely legit freak of nature. And you stand next to them and you think, oh my God, they are huge. And you realize we are a similar weight. So I'm carrying a lot in my calves and my gut, I think, and my head. I've got a big head.
Yeah, well, yep. Yeah, you've sort of morphed into Darren Garforth a bit, haven't you? Which is fine.
Yeah. I'll be
Cooch.
Right looking like it.
You're like Cooch. You're getting more and more like Cooch.
I'm hoping that like doing weights all the time means that my bones stay strong, bone density stays high, so I suffer less shrinkage as I get older.
You look a little bit like David Boone, the cricketer. It's a good moustache, mate. It's very good.
Didn't David Boone have like 40 cans of lager on a flight once or something?
Holds a record, yeah. It's an incredible record.
That's minging, man.
Yeah, I know.
It's great, but it's minging.
I mean, if you're... Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Come on, man.
Like, yeah, where do you even start with that? Like, there's going to be a point where you're just going to either give up, your body's going to give up, your body's going to shut down, you're going to start puking, you're going to start retching. Imagine the amount of toilets... breaks he's going to have to do as well. We just went, maybe.
Just, yeah, grim that. Do you know, at the Toulouse game the other week, I stood next to Emmanuel Miafu, Miafu, the massive second row, who is like Will Skelton big. Not quite as big, but he's not far off. He's a giant amongst giants.
Yeah,
and he's a hell of a player, as we all know. Like, so much more than just a big bloke. But it's so interesting. You go to these French games, and still something now that I notice in France that I don't notice here is that not everyone, they've got big guys who are brilliant at rugby. Their bodies are fit for purpose, but not all of these guys look like athletes. Like, there are
Skelton,
amazing athletes there, like there are here, but some of these guys just look like big, thick units, like kind of, you know, their gait, the way they walk isn't athletic, the way they run isn't athletic. And it's like, I still think there aren't that many of those here in England. And I wonder if those kids are being told, you're not athletic enough for this, or you're not good enough at these tests or this test. I don't know. But like, maybe I'm off the mark, but like, you look at him and think, if you saw him in the street, you'd think that is a massive bloke. I wonder if he does any sport. Whereas if you saw, you know, a Genge or a Lahif in the street, it's like, that is an athlete. Straight away, that guy is a serious athlete. They're big, but they're, the way they move is different. And it's like, I don't know, you watch him walk onto the pitch and you're like, is he going to be good at sport? And then he's better than everyone else. I'm not sure we have many of those in England. That's just, that is a really loose observation. I've got another one. I've got another thing to talk about.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I've written a column. It's on Rugby Pass, I think, as of today. Just like kind of in relation to some of these law tweaks that have happened, but not really. The scrum one everyone's talking about, you can no longer choose a scrum from a free kick after a certain date.
Yeah.
Then there's it weirdly, like, I am being hypocritical, but I've said in games before, like, a line out throw isn't quite straight, but the opposition stay on the floor. It's a bit like, well, why penalise that? They didn't get up anyway. Now it's happening. I think suddenly hookers don't have to be so specialist. But actually, now I reflect on that, I'm not being hypocritical, because I think actually this will force teams to get off the ground. Which weakens them a little bit, because it gets three guys not chasing the ball, not defending them all. So it weakens a defensive line out if they don't win the ball. And actually it means the throw has to be better, the drill has to be better. So I think that's decent enough. But the overall column was about how, I mean, have a read of it if you want, Tommy, but it'll be on social media and stuff. But it's about how the game seems like intent on diluting itself a little bit, and it doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel confident enough to keep the laws as they are and say, deal with it. It doesn't feel confident enough to say, we're doing our best to make it as safe as we can within reason, but there is always a risk to playing rugby. You need to be brave. You need, you know, that's why rugby's special. And that's why it's not, you know, it's not a game for everyone. And I sort of feel like we're going down the wrong route. We're going down the route, especially in the UK, I think, going down the route of saying, we're going to make it as safe as possible. We're really apologetic. We're everyone's best friend. I don't think that works. I think you're much better off if you want it to grow and appeal to people, not to like celebrate violence or dangerous hits. What I'm saying is celebrate the bits that make rugby different from other sports, because there is not a sport that is for everyone. Football's the great beast, I think I call it in the column. It's the great beast. It's the biggest. It's bigger than religion in a sense, or, you know, in terms of TV terms, it is.
It is religion.
Yeah, and it's still not a game for everyone. Like, no one in my brother-in-law does. No one else in my family watches Monday Night Football or watches, you know, TNT at a weekend, the Premier League. Doesn't mean most we do. Hate it. We don't, but lots of people do. But a lot of people don't watch any football ever. Like, that's okay. Football's all right with that. But rugby doesn't seem to be all right with that. And every time it tweaks and tweaks and tweaks, it's kind of like it feels apologetic and it feels reductive. And I kind of think you're removing the specialism that makes the sport, you know, so special. It's like, so can I, if I'm in a scrum that's struggling, can I accidentally go early and lose my balance and get free kicked and the opposition can't choose to out-scrum me again? I mean, that is a very real possibility. That will happen, but they might work around that. But equally, less and less you need specialist props. So you've got like the ultimate example, the obvious one at the moment, is Frans Malherbe, the big South African double World Cup winning tight head. Yeah, like, he's the boss, right? He's not a one-trick pony. He can maul nicely. He can tackle nicely if you run into him. He clears out rucks like a beast, counter rucks. But he's there because he's big, strong scrummager. That's his job. And do you know what? We don't celebrate that. What we do is almost legislate against that in case someone who never watched it before thinks scrums are boring. It's like, well, okay, it's like mixed martial arts and the UFC. It's like, well, grappling's boring. It did used to be a bit boring when it was 25 minutes without stopping or whatever it was. But actually, they celebrate how awesome these guys are on the ground. They celebrate jiu-jitsu and American wrestling, and it works. Like, celebrate the bits that make you unique. And
I don't know why you've got to tease people, mate, to read your column. You just give
there's more
us.
In there than that.
Oh, okay. Well, you're talking about scrums and people celebrating being good at it, but all they've changed is the DuPont law. So you have to retreat now when kicking is long kicks are done. So you can't sort of rest. So they want people not to be able to sort of use that as a break and try and regain their breath. Scrum off free kick. No scrum on free kick, which is good. Speeds the game up again. You're not setting down and losing time through a scrum. And the croc roll, which is massive, which is huge. And that's to stop knee reconstructions. That's to stop people getting their legs trapped underneath. I thought that was just the only three.
I'm not saying never tweak the laws. Like, and of course that of course I'm not saying that. But
that's exactly what you said. You said, why tweak them?
No, I didn't. I'm saying, like the croc roll, for example, you can't argue against that. It's great. You know, that's good stuff. But then I think to myself, I think we're allowed to think different things, but I think you're falling into the trap of, hey, let's do this. And hey, let's do this. Okay, well, if you can't choose a scrum from a free kick, now with the carry, the hold up law, when you're held up over the line, that's not a scrum anymore. You are reducing how much you need specialist scrummagers. And you might say, well, that's great because they're not good ball players anyway. Yeah, but what you have in a scrum is 16 players in the same place so you can launch first phase attack. It's the most space you ever have on the field. So why don't we go down the route of having loads of 15 stone props who don't need to scrummage instead of 21 stone props who do? See how much space there is then. Reduce the number of potential scrums further. I think you're not fixing the issue, just reducing the number of scrums. I think that the primary issue is how bloody long it takes to form a scrum. Absolute hypocrite warning. Guilty. Absolutely used it as a breather when I was a player. That is the issue. There isn't much else. The whole dark arts thing is made up, mate. There are things you need to explain to people, but there's not a huge amount of cheating in scrums. There just isn't. It's too hard. It's too obvious. People crumble under pressure. People do things they're not meant to do under pressure to survive. That's how it goes. It's not, people don't go out there to consciously cheat, just get caught. So you're reducing the number. So you will not, eventually, reasonably soon, you will not need specialist scrummaging props, hookers, or locks. So what you will have is a version of eight back rows. There would be rugby league. This is an extreme, yeah. It's an extreme point I'm going to deliberately to make the point. I'm exaggerating, but you won't need France Malherbe. You won't need him. Let alone that, you won't need Mahler. You know, you won't need Quinns, won't need Collier. They've won a title off his back, mate. So it's the scrum will no longer be a weapon because they're just reducing the number of situations in which you can weaponize that power. So it's gradual, but it's like this dilution, this reduction of the game and its most iconic sort of areas, facets that I think we should be celebrating. And sure, tweak them here or there, but it's reducing and removing that to the point. And it's all about new viewers, new viewers, new viewers, new viewers. Okay, but make it flow, make it flow. It's like you can celebrate these things. I'm the first to say, come on, lads, when I'm commentating, this takes so long to set up. I'm the first to say stuff can be boring. Kicking can be magnificent. Or we saw, what game was, I think I was down at Exeter last week, and I said, this kicking, I don't mind a good kicking duel. Some of these kicks have been absolutely rubbish, is what I said. Because some of them, they were just like four or five rubbish kicks in a row. But we can laugh about that. But kicking can be amazing. Yeah. Let's tell you what, let's ban kicking, because sometimes kicking exchanges can be boring. The DuPont law, someone found a loophole. It's actually a crap look, and it doesn't favour the attack. So I kind of see that tweak. That's cool. It's kind of a new thing that's arrived. I don't know. I think the more we remove the need for specialists, the less unique our game becomes. And I think we are better off celebrating these individuals and the tricks they can perform rather than diluting it, because then we just become, I think it becomes less and less impressive. And I think it is gradual and it is happening.
We need to get rid of held up over the line is a dropout under the post. That is the most frustrating law ever, because you're allowed to do on your own line, in your own goal line, stuff that you're not allowed to do, in open play. You know, you can get under the board, you can slow it down. You don't have to move away, whilst if that is ball in play, you're penalised. So there has to be more reward for being held up over the line. Like Scarlets, for instance, were held up three times in the first half against Ulster over the line. Like it was, and all of a sudden then you're just able to relieve pressure. There's no way that law should be there. It should be scrummed down to the attacking team. But it's not because scrums
are boring. What if scrums took 30 seconds and it's scrum and go, you know, the game moves on and that's cool. But when I was playing, it's like you hold someone up over the line, you got the back saying, yes, boys. And all the forwards are like, boom, heart rate increases.
It's the fine balance.
We know what's coming.
It's the fine balance of making the game boring and not making it slow and people turning off. So you have to accept that. I totally with you, mate, that rugby needs to be for all shapes and sizes. Otherwise, you're just attacking brilliant defenders that, you know, you're going to have Sam Underhill in the front row, you know, that type of player. That's exactly what you don't want, because you want weak defenders who are slow off the line, slow around guard. You know, you need to tire people out in order for there to be space. And part of that is substitutions as well. Maybe we need to look at that, only injury.
Yeah. That's something I find interesting as well. Like, again, that's a tweak I'd be interested to see. So I'm not saying don't tweak anything, but
no,
I think what you can say what you like, but I think what you can't say is absolutely don't mind this tweak to the scrum, as well as the held up over the line thing. No scrum, no scrums from free kicks. I think that's good because it lets the game flow. But I absolutely agree with you, mate, that you need big, tired, weak defenders, because the one thing you agree with means that point two will never happen. It will stop happening. So it actually, point one cancels out point two. That's the point. So if you do go along with it, you do forfeit that. You forfeit space on the field. And, you know, the players now are so much better than we were, but it's all relative. But it's like, I can tell you, there is, you need tired people to make space, especially these days. I've never played any other positions, right? But I've played a lot of rugby. There is no more tiring position than being a prop forward on a rugby field, because you're basically the least anaerobically fit as usual, because you're so heavy. You're the least mobile because you're so heavy, and you're doing the highest strength work, the heaviest strength work repeatedly. Then you have to run. So it's incredibly physically tiring. And if you remove that, we all played in games where there were no scrums for half an hour.
They would have looked at it, though, about free kicks.
Brand new.
Why is a free kick given?
When?
In a game.
Certain infringements.
Lack of discipline. Is it accidental infringements? Because
no, it's certain ones are.
But they would have looked at how many free kicks are given during a game. Now, there's not that many, I don't think. I covered three games at the weekend. I'm not sure I saw one free kick. So that you're not removing too many scrums is my point, I don't think.
It's gradual, mate. You add them to the ones you remove from being held up over the line.
That is the biggest one for me. That is,
yeah, but
that
you
is...
add them up. There'll be another one in 2 years.
Yeah.
Add them up, right?
But I don't think there's many free kicks, so I'm not sure.
Oh, there are, mate. Watch this weekend. Watch how many people lose their balance at the scrum and
give
a free kick for early engagement. There are
there are free kicks. I get there are free kicks, but I'm not sure.
And stuff. There are a good number. Of course, some it all varies, but I saw one comment online. Good that what South Africa did when they called a scrum in their own 22 from
that was
class. Shouldn't be allowed. Hang on a minute. Why not? It's class. And when, again, I'm always reluctant to go back to the old days, but some things never change. When you went to Welford Road and you played against Leicester and they got a free kick, there was, mate, if Austin was playing nine, they might tap and go. 9 times out of 10, almost regardless of where you are on the field, you're scrummaging, mate. You got Julian White, who wants a piece. You got Roundtree, Dorian West, who wants a piece. Then you got Castro on the bench. You got Dan Cole on the bench. We are confronting you with this weaponry. That's what South Africa do. So it's like this was an epic part of rugby, and it was celebrated, and the crowd loved it, and we loved it. I loved going to Welford Road to face that because it's like, right, line up, kick again or scrum? Scrum. Any chance they got, we'll scrum you, and we'll. It's not just we're going to obliterate your scrum. It's we are going to put a ton of work into your biggest men, and we know it's going to lead Geordie Murphy and those guys are going to find space later on. We know it. So. You dilute that and you add it up. And I must say, I'm here to be proven wrong, but I don't like it.
Stormers played Dragons on the weekend and they were pretty much on top of the scrum nearly all through the game, although there were certain penalties that were given to the Dragons. But like 71 minutes, big scrum. Martinez, who just come on the field under pressure, gets yellow carded. The score at that time is 22-20. They're winning by about 2 points. Martinez goes off for the Dragons, down to 14 men. The next 9 minutes, Stormers score 21 points.
Wow.
Had a huge effect on the game.
Yeah.
So, scrum is important. I get it.
It is, but...
I'm with you, but...
It's being diluted, mate. And this isn't just an old prop talking. It's being diluted before our very eyes. And... Do you know what I get? Like quite a lot, I'll get people say to me, when are you going to talk about the crooked feeds in the scrums? And I'll say, mate, no one under the age of 60 ever asked that question. You're boring old man. And we have a laugh about it. Someone shouted at me in Twickenham last week and it's all good fun. And I say, oh, you're boring old man, you're grumpy old man. My dad asks that. But there's I'm not as ardent on that one, but I can't pick and choose.
It's absolutely terrible.
But it's laughable. And it's actually what it means is that
Rugby league now. It is rugby league.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing.
Like Dylan Hartley, 2 points on it, right? Dylan Hartley made a really good point to me a couple of years ago. He said, but like one team knocks it on, the other team gets the put in. The other team have to have a hooker who takes his foot off the ground to hook it. So they are at a disadvantage in a scrummaging contest. Why should the team who didn't make the mistake be at a disadvantage at the resultant scrum? And I think, okay, that is actually an argument that I've thought about a lot. The other thing is, like, why should you have the advantage as my opposition scrum because you dropped the ball? Okay, that is an interesting one, actually. I hadn't thought of it like that till he said it. But it does mean that the hookers don't need to be as specialist as they used to be. And if we are a game that celebrates uniqueness and specialists, the throwing thing, I think, now more teams, presumably after these laws, a tweak, they will get off the ground. I think the throwing thing will become a big thing again. It's like I read Stuart Barnes's column and he talked about the hookers being their whole foot basically is in field now. That's not marshalled anymore. And again, these little things, I think to myself, it doesn't really matter. I watched Harry Thacker at the weekend And it's not his fault. They're all the same. He was wonderful when he came off Bristol, but all of his feet were in field. So he's completely in field when he throws it, which takes half a meter off your back throw, whatever it does. Whatever it takes off, it makes it easier. You do not have to be as specialist as you used to be. And I think a much better route forward for growth is to celebrate specialism and courage and bravery than it is to water it down.
Well, the line is the line, mate. The line is the line. You touch the line with your foot, you're out of play. I agree with...
Why don't we let wingers call it a try if their foot's in touch? Why don't we let them do that then?
Well, tennis players can't go over the line when they serve.
Yeah.
You know, if they're a little bit closer over the line, then it is easier for them. They've got a little bit of an advantage because you're closer to the serving box. So, yeah, there are little things like this. We are being a little bit pedantic.
But... Oh, just quickly, I know we've got to go in a minute. I'm going to talk about rugby quickly, then go. But I've started a new podcast recommended by my mate Bod, and not Brian O'Driscoll, the real Bod. And it's called The Gatekeepers, and it's all about, you know, it's like the meta.
Did you say gate?
Gate. Yeah.
Okay, phew.
Gatekeepers, sorry. Gatekeepers, and it's all about, you know, the...
Ghostbusters,
social media, and how much or how little the big companies do about it, how they react to, you know, it's sort of content being fed to us, and it is algorithms and all that sort of stuff. It sounds really boring, but I found it really, really interesting. So I think it's worth a listening because I've got two older girls who both have phones, and I hate their phones, and I tell them 10 times a night and 10 times a morning to put it down for 10 minutes and just be in the room. I have days where they're not allowed them and they nick them and find them, and I find their laptops under their mattress. They're constantly trying to get at their devices. And I've got two little ones. Freya and I, like, we get to the 11th birthday, the current situation, there is no way on earth they are getting smartphones with, things might have changed, smartphones with social media when they're 11, 12, 13. And I don't care how much they hate it. They are not getting it. It's horrible.
It's easy to sound hard now. It's easy to sound hard now.
I know.
Online. Yeah.
I know.
Until you start doing your head in, not giving you any time. Go on.
Yeah, I know. There you go. Or you get divorced and then you want to be the favorite parent, so you buy my phones.
Yeah.
No, I haven't done that.
Well, I have to shout out Claire Thomas, who filled in, not last minute, she knew a couple of days prior that she's going to have to present two games on Saturday. So she was at Parker Scarlett's in Tletley. We covered the Bulls Glasgow prior to the Scarlett's Ulster, and she was amazing. It's such a good job. Yeah, nailed all her links, nailed it all. It was
brilliant.
It was so good. I'm so happy for her because she was there to do pitch side interviews, but Ross Harris couldn't make it, so she stepped in and was amazing. Right. I had to do the player interviews after the game, which was quite tough because I've just done pre-game, commentated, done the middle of the game, commentated, straight down. And I didn't realise I was doing it, but I kept saying how important. I asked like about 8 questions.
Then you went on Twitter and people are like, why does he keep saying that?
No, they didn't. They didn't. But... I kept saying how important. I was like, oh, I was just on autopilot. Like, I didn't have time to prep questions. I just had to, off the top of my head, go for it. But it was, she was great. Right. A little bit of rugby because this has been a long one. It's been intense. It's been good, though. I think
you've got
a lot off your chest. 90-0. Hit me with that.
That is
Northampton, Gloucester.
Topsy Ojo, my mate, made a really good point. Gloucester basically rested a load of guys, presumably to, you know, because they got the Challenge Cup final coming up next Friday night.
Sharks lost as well to Benetton.
Good win for Benetton that. But they got this big game and their season hinges on that because in Premiership terms, it's been horrible for them. So it hinges on that. So they think, right, we're not going to win. Basically throw that. Let's give it a go, but throw it. And then I don't know what they're going to do this weekend yet. They play Newcastle. So... weirdly, that game takes on a bit of significance because Newcastle haven't won a game. They've lost all 17 so far. So if Gloucester don't want to be the only team Newcastle beat this season, so there's a bit of pressure on that. Presumably, they'll go full bore.
Yeah, they've rested them last weekend. Full bore this weekend in prep for Challenge Cup final.
Yeah, and presumably try and get certain guys off the field with 20 to go. But that 90-0 has like doubled the pressure on Gloucester winning this Challenge Cup. It's doubled it because it's an horrific defeat. I think I'm always really, really reluctant to say that people stopped trying and capitulated. If you look at the heart rate monitors and the GPS, there will be lads trying their hardest. But that was a team that absolutely disintegrated under admittedly intense pressure. Just horrible. I know that there is a huge amount of faith in guys like George Skivington and the coaching team there. But this, let's just say, I think the Challenge Cup final has become very, very important. It already was, but I think the pressure just doubled because, you know, it's... That was horrific. On the other hand, Northampton, goodness me. Like, I was at Bristol Saris, and afterwards, the whole chat is like, Saris are favourites. And they are, I think. But not by a lot. Like, only because of their experience and their pedigree in knockout games.
Yeah, of course.
And I'd also said, like, who are we to watch Northampton score 14 tries, whatever it was, and say they're not favourites? They were absolutely sensational. Sensational.
It's really hard, Flats, to pile on the pressure in the first half and reproduce that in the second half. Normally, you don't see that. Normally, you see teams will go ahead mostly by maybe 17 to 25 points. And then at some stage, second half, a team will come back because you just switched off. Very, very rarely do you see a team just go full hammer first and second half when you're leading by so much. So fair play to Northampton for putting them to the sword, because you switch off in defence, you can easily switch off in attack. You know, the game's won easily. You don't care, but Northampton did care. And I haven't seen a result like that for a long time.
Biggest ever winning home margin, I think.
We nearly beat Japan by 100 points, but Kevin Morgan dropped it on the last attack.
Never forgiven him, have you?
Without Japan, mate, I would have got no tries in Romania. But switched on for those games.
Truly, like, humbling for Gloucester. But they've got to batter Newcastle this weekend, or at least go really well. And then they've got a big job following Friday night in Tottenham. I mean it, yeah.
Leinster went the other way around. Leinster went full hog this weekend. Against the Ospreys. You know, so a lot of their big name players played. Like, that you had the front row, Porter, Furlong, Josh van der Fleer.
Yeah.
There was loads played. And they don't normally play URC games, but they're going to be rested, you'd imagine, this weekend, ready for Champions Cup final.
Imagine that. Imagine just not playing league games.
There was a stat about the amount of minutes the Ospreys players had played compared to the starting 15 for Leinster, and it was non-comparable. But then nothing is in Welsh rugby with, say, the top five or six teams in the URC, because Wales is so far off at the moment.
Well, what would the Ospreys gameplay, what would the Ospreys minutes stats be versus Leicester?
Don't know.
I know Leinster. I don't know, mate.
But well, there's a massive gulf in how players looked after in Ireland. But the whole system is different, so it's not their fault. It's just the way it is. Where are you this weekend?
I am... chuffed a bits, actually. I'm doing Quins against Bristol. So the running's gone mad. Like, the bottom of the league is crap, because... having said that, no one's talking about the bottom of the league, really, because if there was relegation...
Yeah,
because there's no relegation. But actually, had there been relegation, of course, people might have played differently. You don't know. But just on this season's stats, Newcastle would have been down with a few rounds to go. So it wouldn't have been a conversation anyway, actually. So, you know, it goes both ways, that argument. But the run-in's amazing. There's still a load of teams flat out in contention for top four. Saris and Saints are guaranteed. No one else is guaranteed. Bath are very, very likely. There's a good chance they'll have to go away to the Stonex. But for that fourth spot, Sale, Chiefs, Quins, Bristol, they could all do it. So
yeah. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I mean, that's why we have the playoffs. This is why we have the playoffs. And initially, when they came and you thought, I was thinking, well, you're not really rewarding the top team with being the best like you do in the Premier League football.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the top. I mean, that's a massive game tonight, mind. Man City, Spurs, oosh.
Yep.
That's huge. But it certainly makes European qualification more interesting. It certainly makes the winner of the leagues more interesting because anyone could win it. Last year, Munster came from nowhere, won the URC.
Yeah, so it does.
It makes it good. What would you say to this before we leave?
Yep.
Would you be up for this? Now, if you were, this is going to be a real tough question to answer, but if you were in charge of Premiership rugby in England, would you be open to the idea? At the moment, it's 10 teams. That's right, isn't it?
Yep.
Would you be open to the idea of two Welsh teams joining your league?
So many great gags in my head now.
Go for it.
So many. So, nah, it's not worth it, mate. No.
Okay, fine.
Up for it. As a punter, not as someone in charge of Premier Rugby, as me, as a punter who commentates on games.
Too much history behind it. Too much history behind it being an English league and nostalgia.
I don't think it needs it. Like, I don't. Where's the.
Don't they want 12 teams, though? Isn't it better with 12 teams? Or do you think 10?
You know, I don't think it is, no.
Okay.
I don't think it is. There's suddenly the Premiership isn't clashing with international series.
Oh, like, mate, what have I done? I've opened up a can of worms now. We're going to go on, aren't we?
No, we're
what
not.
What have
not.
I done? What am I like?
Do you know what? I think it's doing the Welsh a favour, which I quite like the idea of, in theory. Yep. There will be Welsh people that say, who do you think you are saying that? But I'm sorry that the prem is not perfect. It's, you know...
Like the URC did South Africa a favour by inviting them in.
Yeah, I don't think it's worked. Admittedly, the distances are much better. I don't think it's worked. I still don't think the South African teams in the European competitions works.
It's good, apart from knockout stages, because you're seeded.
But you also have, like, you know, there's no travelling support, there's no atmosphere from opposition.
There's no travelling support in the URC anyway, mate, because you've got Glasgow, you've got Ulster, you've got Leinster, you've got the Irish teams, the talent teams. Yeah. No one really comes, so that's irrelevant for us. But it's not
irrelevant for us in the Prem, because we do have travelling support. Not
you'd have travelling support from Wales, though, because Wales is closer to... Bath, Bristol, West Country, Leicester is a lot closer than maybe Newcastle is.
Maybe, yeah, yeah. But
I think a decision now. Have a think about it and then decide next week whether you'll allow us.
As a commentator, if it was like, right, guess what? You know, it's Bath against Cardiff, like, or, you know, whatever it is, or Leicester against Ospreys or something. I'm really keen for that because it's fresh and it's new.
Yeah.
But it's like buying a new car or get a dog. It's like, what are you left with when the novelty wears off? Are you left with something big and commercially viable and something that doesn't dilute the original product and something that lasts and that's sustainable? Like, is it, you know, then you've got, I don't know. There's a lot to think about, but my initial answer is not being uncharitable, but it's like, actually, probably not. And are there better ways? Are there better things to do with Welsh rugby than that? And
nope.
Ask Rhys Blumberg, he's CEO, but, you know, I think to myself, you know, would I rather watch Ospreys against Dragons, or would I rather go back a couple of generations and watch Bridgend against Neath? Do you know what I mean? Like, I sort of prefer the second option. I thought, you know, so it's vastly complicated question, but I think the Premiership probably needs a couple of things, but it doesn't need that. And I don't think it needs more teams. That's what I don't think it needs.
Okay. All right. Trying. All right.
I know, mate. I'll have a look
again. Mate, that is that's a well rugby done, heavy pod. Well done.
That's good.
You see, we can do it when we want to.
Yeah. People are going to hate this.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
Hey, well, look, wish me luck on Friday. Tins is golf day.
Well, good luck to you, fella.
I've got a taxi book, so don't have to worry about driving.
I was meant to be shooting clay pigeons at Tins's house next Tuesday with Ed Sheeran, but Ed Sheeran has had to rearrange.
Oh, he's got a scar on his face, hasn't he, from someone with a sword, one of Whose daughter was it?
What, Ed Sheeran?
Fergie's daughter. Ferguson, Sarah Ferguson, one of her daughters.
Eugenie or Beatrice, wasn't it?
I knew you'd know. Yeah. Some sort of sword cut on his face from that.
I met them.
Messing around.
I met them on Royal
Yacht.
Yeah,
I met them.
I met loads. We're best mates. They're here now, actually. So,
I
met them on the Royal, whatever it is, the Royal boat before Tim's wedding. And Eugenie.
Were they going, Daddy, what is that? Daddy, what is that? What is he, Daddy?
Unbelievably nice.
Is he from Disney? Daddy, is he from Disney?
I like his motor. I like his motor. Right, good luck, everyone. Any of you, send it to Shanks, okay?
Bye.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.